Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's show. We are a technological society. There's no doubt about it. Our devices, they keep us very well informed. And at the same time, there is something that my guest today would like to share with you, something called technology of the soul, or particularly the technology of intention. So Kim Stanward Terranova is with me today. She just brought out a new book, The Technology of Intention, and she wants to share with us her insights on this vibration, I would say, of voice work that we share, all of us share, to make this world a better place. So welcome, Kim, to the show.
Thank you so much, Kara. I'm just honored to be here. Thank you.
So, Kim, that is, I was lucky enough to get a copy of the book in my hand. So I am in the moment in Berlin, and we know in the last months it hasn't been easy with postage and sending things. Everything's, but what I love is to have a book in my hands, because I do feel the intent of an author. I'm a little bit old school like that. I like to hold and feel those pages. So I read your book, and for me, as a songwriter and as an artist, and as a voice coach, I guess, I consider intention a very fine frequency, a layer of voice work, as is affirmations or speaking and word and all of these things you talk about in your book. So can you talk to us a little bit more about how you would define that word intention and why it is so important to you and for us?
I love everything you just said about our frequency and intentions. I find it beautiful how we have different words for the meaning of different things. And if we can continue to honor each other's words, it's so beautiful to see we're speaking the same language. Mm-hmm. And intentions are a tool, a beautiful spiritual tool, I believe, that we have at our fingertips that can be activated by choice. And when we remember that it is a technology, there's a beautiful pathway to living an awakened life, and this is one of those tools. So intentions are a lasered statement that's being put out into the universal field of consciousness, and it is filled with our desire of what we are aiming to create, to co-create with spirit. And when we're clear in our intentions, of course, we have clarity coming back to us. So that the beauty of intentions is we can activate them, and the more we know and practice them, they become clearer and clearer, and our lives begin to shift in alignment because, of course, we're receiving back the aim that we desire in miraculous ways, in ways that we may not know how, but the power of intention is that as we place it onto the altar of consciousness, we then are activated in the steps to create it, but that frequency in consciousness is also working with us to bring it back to us.
So we can see it as a way to not only focus our desires, but to amplify, to have it amplified. And then as we're clear with our focus, then we're sending clear messages to the universe where we're having this wonderful conversation, which is also something that we love in voice. We love conversations and to communicate. So when we're having this conversation, then it's reflected back and we can live a more fulfilled life.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, we're creating always. It's either consciously or unconsciously. So when we realize, what is the thing I would like to consciously create, whether it's happiness in my life, whether it's balance in my life, whether it's divine partnership or health or wholeness, whatever it is, when we get clear what that is and then really apply, you know, our practice and intention being one of them that is so strong, then we are starting to create it a whole different vibration. And then we get to do the other practices of gratitude and acknowledgement to stay present to all that is occurring in our lives so we keep it moving.
Yeah. I have a very, a question that I've always struggled with, and I thought maybe you could support me with it. I too practice I also use the tool of intent to do all of my creations, which I think every artist does, every project manager does, every restaurant owner does. We set these intents, whether, you know, I want to make a new coffee shop. And I think many of us know how powerful intention is, but as you know, and we talked about this shortly before the show, we are in very evolutionary times. We are in times in the moment in the United States. This is a live show where you have a mass majority of people, actually, they do have the intent to live in peace. They do have the intent to live with a loving heart. You have people of color or different belief systems who are practicing powerful prayers and faith, and yet they keep on hitting walls. So that's a little bit my, you know, it's a little bit my struggle sometimes, where I see many, many people joining together every Sunday, singing together, standing in faith, standing in prayer, having the intent to live good lives, and then getting hit with many injustices. And is it because the other people do not have the same intent? I mean, why do you think that can be? Because actually, you would think that if so many people were going after the same thing, that it would manifest and we would have heaven on earth. We, on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, that's what I would think. I mean, from my own practice, I would think that, and it's not yet there, and it's my dream to have heaven on earth. So what is your take on that?
That in itself is such a beautiful conversation for us to always be having. And if every household across the world right now is having this conversation, we're asking the questions of what is possible for our intentions to be fulfilled. And when they do not feel like they are, what's the block? And I really feel the importance of the questions we ask. You know, if we say why, if we get stuck in a why, we'll repeat the patterns. That's part of a societal belief, you know, like the injustices, so many individuals are feeling them, living in them. And when we can, those that are practicing intention can hold a place of, we may not know the time or the pathway of how it's going to happen, but our practice with one, hundreds, thousands, millions to hold a vision that is the vision of peace on earth, but then to follow the actions. See, our intentions are a clear point of aim, but our actions must follow our intentions. When we have a mass of people with actions following that intention, absolutely life will be changing. And very often, Cara, we know that when we have an intent, anything that opposes it is going to rise up to be dissolved. So when things rise up, it is, can we, in the middle of what seems to be the harm, the metamorphosis that's taking place across the globe right now, that as we stand in the light still and hold the vision and then take the steps of action in all systems, political, legal, humanitarian, wherever we're at, that we take the steps to match that intention and surround it with compassion, understanding, gentleness, patience, the qualities that will birth that life. We must clean out the nooks and crannies of where our thoughts have kept us limited. And it's in each and every one of us, we have our own individual work to clean out our own upset inside, and so that our intentions can continue to be aimed and our voices and actions follow suit to create a world that honors all. And that absolutely will keep shifting and happening. And at times when it doesn't look like it is, which is understandable, when it's like, well, why did this happen? It's not in alignment with my intention. Right there is our practice to reevaluate, relook at it, set our intention, and follow the action to keep the course. Usually we let go and go, see, it didn't work. Or if somebody says to me, it didn't work. It's like, okay, let's take a breath. Let's readjust what is rising up to be healed. Because it had to come up to be healed and dissolved for us to keep our intention moving forward, right?
Yes.
And then realign our intention again and begin again. You know, it's like we get back up, brush ourselves off as fast as we can, reassess, love each other through it, and begin again. And it has been proven that it will shift, and sometimes it takes a repetition of practice for us to keep our thoughts clean, to know it is possible, because fear rises up and bumps into us and we forget again.
Yeah, so, powerful, powerful words. I also had to think about you because you have part of the book, you're talking about something that's very dear to my heart, the power of word, and how word is so words are so important. And
so
we're going to get into that a little bit later. But when I was watching the protests, I saw, you know, no justice, no peace. And I was thinking in my head, yes, justice, yes, peace. You know, I was just thinking, you know, whenever we say know this, know that, know that, we're already negating. It's already difficult for us to move forward. So I was like, yes to peace, yes to love.
Absolutely. We then hold the energy of no. You know, it's exactly what you're pointing to, is that when we can see where is our attention, because that's where our intention is going to be aimed, you know, is if it's on the no, we stay stuck in the no. If it's, and if it's on the no, K-N-O-W, we're going to stay stuck in the knowing, which is great. But we absolutely get to be aware of our language. I'm with you there.
Yeah. You do talk about the three pillars that are necessary, the three pillars of intention. Can you share with us a little bit more about what they
Absolutely. Are? I found over the years when I was working with large groups and individual clients that when their learning curve to learn how to really write and create clear intentions was much more applicable when they had these pillars. So it's when we write intentions that are based in these three levels, it really is effective. The first one is they're always in the positive. So that's what we were just talking about. We're not going to use a negative word in a sentence, otherwise we're creating the negative. So intentions, when they're based in the positive languaging, that's pillar number one. Number two is they're always in the present moment. We don't say my intention tomorrow is that I'll have a good day. The power is in the present moment. We breathe this breath in this moment. So it's my intention is that each day and every day is a fulfilling day. That's in the present moment. Mm-hmm. And then the third one that is a little trickier for people to practice, but then once they get it, it keeps going, is that intentions are based in qualities. We do not limit them by a specific outcome. We can have an aim for what we're aiming for, but we don't limit that it's only this outcome. So to explain that, equality in every word you and I have been stating, like my intention is to call forth divine peace on earth. We're not saying a circumstance that has to go down a certain way there for it to happen. We're naming it positive present quality, or my intention is to make choices this day that honor my body, temple, and perfect health. Those are qualities of action and actions, not just my intention is I lose 10 pounds by Friday. You know, that's a specific outcome that can limit spirit. And we don't want to limit spirit. Spirit may say, well, let's have you have your body in optimal health, even, you know, in a more honorable manner. But if we limit it with only one outcome, we're staying stuck. The qualities keep us where they're fluid. If I say to someone, what do you want to feel in this situation today? And say today, when it feels stressful, right? In the United States right now, many people want to feel peace, want to feel a calmness in their soul, want some understanding. Those are things we could absolutely intend without naming how they're going to happen. But the action that follows those qualities is powerful.
Yeah, and I think also sometimes the universe surprises us with something bigger than we even imagined. You know, that's if we have studied a little bit about quantum physics, that's why this moment can be a very magical moment, also in the United States or all around the world where we're facing these conflicts, because if enough people come together with the same intent and are unified in their word and action, that a big shift can happen quickly. You know, that's this incredible thing that I've seen again and again. I was talking to at the beginning of the show, our listeners were not yet there, but I have been living in Berlin, Germany, and I saw the wall fall down, and I was amazed at how that changed me profoundly, to see a wall fall, changed the way that I live my life after that, because I knew it's possible without violence to change a system. Yes. It is possible with no violence to change a system. There were no bullets shot. It's possible.
And when we look at that beautiful truth that occurred, that right there is the evidence that our thinking, our creating, our intending, and then mass intention, what is so possible for our beautiful earth right now, is right in that beautiful example.
Exactly. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Kim, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back and talk more about intention, affirmations, everything possible. Stay tuned.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, this is David Strickle. I'm excited to share my brand new show, The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio. Each week, I'll have exciting guests, and I'll channel the eternal wisdom of The Stream, a group of non-physical entities whose teachings have transformed lives all over the world. So join us for an uplifting hour each Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's The Stream of David Live right here on Om Times Radio.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your health care provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. We are back at Voice Rising. This is your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me in studio today is Kim Stanward-Terranova. She's the author of a new book called The Technology of Intention. We were talking about before the break also about the ability to be absolutely clear when we set the intention. And I was going to ask you, how do we arrive at this clarity? We all know the space where our mind is saying, I think it would be great if you do this. And the heart is saying, but actually, maybe we should be doing that. And the mind is saying, yeah, but actually, it would be good. Let's say, you know, you need to move to New York because there's a better job. And the heart's saying, well, actually, but your mother lives in Florida and you should be with her because she's 80 years old. So how do you come to peace with, is there a trick to make not only a very good decision, but to really hone in that ability to become clear with what we really want?
Absolutely. I love the examples you just gave because I'm gonna ride the wave of those.
Yeah.
Right there, those two were aimed at, like, should I move here or should I do that? It's understandable questions we all have, and whether it's just moving or business or what's a choice I could do next. Right, the intention there is, if we have a practice, an ongoing practice of intention, the first intention for that would to be, my intention is to call forth divine clarity on the move that is the highest good for myself and my family. So that we first call forth clarity, because what happens is exactly what you just said, is that our head and our heart go back and forth and we kind of have this dance. And I say to people, if we can meet right in the middle, let's meet in the middle of the head and the heart. Take the wisdom that our intellect is guiding us toward, but listen to the sensitivities of our heart. Meet in the middle. Set the intention for, my intention is to call forth clarity on the next step for the highest good for myself and my family. And then, Cara, our practice, our daily practice of meditation, of deep listening, of gratitude will create spaciousness for the answer to come. In our society, we want things fast because we're used to receiving them fast through the advantages of technology. And what is necessary in our inner technology is to cultivate deep listening, because our inner technology is going to bring us the answer when we also have the patience and understanding to hold the space of, my intention is for clarity, for clarity. There's times that I've had an intention for divine clarity, crystal clear clarity on the next step to take here. And then my practice must support, okay, let me keep journaling, meditating, gathering information, being a seeker, active in this. And always, all of a sudden, out of the blue, it'll be like, or I take a breath and go, oh my gosh, that's the clarity I needed. And now I know what I'm going to do, which direction I'm going. We must cultivate that as a society, as deep listening, so that our inner guidance brings us clarity while we do the practice accepting clarity. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And I love that you said meet in the middle, because for me, that's voice. It's right in the middle. It's right, your throat and your throat chakra, it's the ears, the deep listening, it's the power of word, it's creating vibrations that heal our body. And the voice has this magical ability, which I think many people don't realize, is that the voice loves to integrate. So the voice loves to take our emotions and link it together with the wisdom. The voice actually loves to be the bridge between the mind asking questions and the heart seeking also for the answers, right? So it's a beautiful place to be reminded of. You also have a fantastic phrase in the book that I think that one of your teachers gave you, and I thought it was just so wonderful. It's you said, you are either pushed by the pain or pulled by the vision.
The vision.
You are either pushed by the pain or pulled by the vision. I think that's a very powerful line, because I know in my own experience it's so true. You're either pushed by the pain forward or you're pulled by the vision. So how did these words affect you and your own journey? And what was the shift? I mean, to be non-judgmental, it might not be bad to be pushed by the pain, and it might also be good to be pulled by the vision. So why is this so important for us?
Thank you. Yes, my wonderful teacher, Michael Bernard Beckwith, had taught me that, and it was true for myself. When individuals will ask me at times, like, how did you get into this? you know, so early in your life. And I said, I was in pain. And when we're in enough pain, sometimes we're open to what is possible to heal my heart now. And the switch is when we catch the answer, like what is possible, and find a path. Mine was spiritual expansion and to grow and evolve in consciousness. That began the vision of what was possible became bigger than the pain. But either one, if it gets us to the next level of the evolution of our soul, can we be willing to take the journey, either of the pain or the vision? And we can switch from, if it was the pain that started it, once we catch the insights in the path of healing, because we've been in enough pain to know I'm not going to live like this anymore, then the vision, and then we're doing our spiritual work and growing, the vision of what's possible becomes bigger because we've opened the door coming out of the pain. Maybe some of the pain took enormous healing. Maybe some of the pain was caused that we had to, for myself, I had to release belief systems that didn't serve me. Any place that I ever thought if I was being a victim by something, I had to release that so I could catch the vision that that's bigger than a story that is holding me back. And I'm more interested in the vision and following that. And we get to dance in that dance and not have judgment on ourselves, you know, when we are in the pain. The pain is also telling us something. Are we listening to what it's telling us? So then we can transmute it into a vision of, you know, really something bigger and aim for the pathway to follow that. Both of them are teachers. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that's also so beautifully said, is a lot of times we judge ourselves, we shame ourselves for the pain, but actually the pain is a teacher, and to be compassionate. And similar to the top of the show where we were talking about, you set the intent, but there's not an expectation of a timeline. And the same as when we're dealing with pain, you set the intent, but you're not saying, I have to have this fixed by next week. You're saying it's we are evolutionary beings. We are healing. Mm-hmm. We are mending. And, you know, for the highest good of all. And I've seen also fantastic things happen when people also do tap into a bigger vision. And they're not only looking at their own tiny life, but then able to look at a bigger vision. It also helps them at times heal their pain, because they're suddenly aware that they're not the only one going through a divorce, or they're not the only one dealing with cancer, or they're not the only one having their homes burn in fires, and there's a compassion that develops.
So, when we have understanding for others, you know, we may not agree with certain things, but if we can aim for understanding, then we open our heart of compassion. So we can have these difficult conversations in life right now, whether if it's to do with, you know, what's our next step in healing from the coronavirus? What's our next step in re-engaging with one another? We can have difficult conversations. And even if, and I'll say to people, please lean into those difficult conversations instead of being fearful of them, because in the center of a difficult conversation tends to be the most healing place for us. And the pain is temporary, because each conversation that felt like it was hard gets easier when we're practiced in knowing it's safe to have it. It's safe to know we could sit with someone we love and may not agree with exactly their belief in a certain area, but we could still love them and honor, because we could understand, oh, your path led you there, so that's why you believe that. I don't believe that, but I could still love you.
Yeah. You know? And there are these terms, clean pain and dirty pain. I don't know if they're good terms, but it's like if we honor, in a way, the pain that is showing us something, and we're not throwing blame out there, that we're just holding that, then, again, the healing can happen quite quickly. Or the understanding for the other person's view, like, you know, like you were saying. You also talk in your book, Kim, about the difference between goal setting and intention setting. So share your thoughts. What is the difference between I'm going to set a goal for myself and I'm setting an intention for myself?
Lovely. I love both. I favor intentions is probably a way to say it. And I appreciate goals. Goals are magnificent, and they have a real clear aim of saying, we know the outcome. a goal can tend to be, someone could say, my goal is this year to, you know, whether it's to lose 20 pounds, or my goal is to be able to run a marathon in this much time, or my goal is to double my income. There's certain things that are determined by the outcome. Now, intentions are what happens with intentions, and you mentioned it earlier, when we have a, when we can let go, we set an intention for those qualities in the present moment, but our let go in the intention allows spirit to infuse the wisdom that we haven't even seen, because it's bigger than what we know, to bring us even more than that outcome we were aiming at a goal. So I call intentions our spirit infused, because we're co-creating goals. We, of course, we're always co-creating, but with goals, what we do is we're just thinking, well, it's just that outcome and no other. So we can be disappointed if we don't hit it, or if it would have been maybe met a month earlier, a month later, or maybe it was triple the amount instead of double. But we have set it to a certain, it has to be this. And so goals can be good, and if you add an intention to it, the let go creates space for spirit to bring in the miraculous. And I'm interested in that, that my intention is for the qualities of that goal, the financial freedom, the joy, the perfect health, the wholeness, the divine outcome for my family. And when I let go of it has to come a certain way, I just allowed spirit to bring in miraculous pathways that are bigger than anything I ever, ever anticipated. And that's worth celebrating and following the divine guidance to accept it, instead of saying, oh, no, that doesn't match exactly my goal. What if it was better?
Well, I think that's where a lot of self-sabotage can come in, if people set goals and then they don't reach the goal, and then they feel disappointed, but maybe they didn't reach the goal because, for example, we're in a COVID time in the moment. Let's say you set the goal, I'm going to, whatever, triple my income, and then your business had to close and you feel helpless. But if you set the goal, I'm going to focus on, or I have a successful business, I am kind to every customer, my money is in flow with my values, my work is being valued, then you can grow your business even in the times where everything is shut down with heart. I know that because I'm doing it.
And you said it perfectly. Yes, because when our intention, we really, as a wonderful species, it's really the qualities, if we get under it and somebody says, well, what would that feel like to have your business, you know, in this level of success? Somebody says, oh, it feels so good to know that I am worthy, that my gifts are being delivered, that I am having a financial exchange that's abundant, but I'm still being of high service. Those are all qualities. And when we aim for that in a situation like this, say the business did get shut down because of COVID, if our intention is, my intention is to call forth a business that honors me, that this business in a variety of ways gets to be expressed, that brings in a financial exchange that is honorable and my gifts of service are being well delivered, we just open the door so much wider, Cara, for there to be another path. What if it's a business that is just like that business, but it's bigger, and it keeps us open to possibility instead of shut down to disappointment. And that's a powerful place to be. It's open to possibility instead of, oh no, it was only supposed to be this. And it's also a challenging concept for some of us to gather, because we know what we want and we think it's just that, that business, that person, that house. And when we open it up to what are you going to feel when those things occur? Because really it's, we want the feeling tone, and it could be that and more when we surrender to, my intention is to absolutely call forth unlimited success in my business, versus my goal is that this exact business doubles its income by next month.
Exactly. You also talk about the word should. It's one of your favorite words, right? Tell us more about my favorite word is but. I always tell people take out but. And add an and. I don't want to hear a but. But yeah, you talk about also should as a word. we do have a lot of times when we're setting goals or setting things, I should do this. I should only eat a salad. It puts a lot of pressure on, and takes a little bit of the joy out of the fun that we have to create our lives. What are your thoughts on the word should? What can we do with that word?
First, I'm so tickled pink because I hear myself all the time say the exact same thing about but. I'll say to people, can you put the but out the door and just stick here with end? So I love that you say that as well.
Yeah, it's powerful.
It's a powerful language. Should, the reason that it's one of my least favorite words is that, again, with words having a beautiful energy of vibration, that a should vibration for me, it feels very, it has judgment with it. I should, every suggestion example you just gave, I should only eat a salad. I should have called that person today. Oh, I'm so da 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 da. There's a judgment energy to it. And if we simply just switch it to could, it's kind of like instead of but, use and. Instead of should, try could. Because I could eat a salad. And then we go, what's my intention? My intention is to make choices that honor my body. Oh, okay, great. I'm going to order the salad. Because a could keeps us open. A should, I restrict. Even when I say it, my body gets tighter. I should have done that. They should have called me yesterday right then. And I'm judgment was in the room again. I'd like judgment to be out. So that possibility is in, and it's a simple switch of the words is take should out and just leave it somewhere else and stick to I could bring forth this, that person could possibly call me today and that would be great. And my intention is to connect with them. Maybe I'll call them, you know, that then we get out of judgment when we remove it. And it's a practice. Someone could just say, let me just try it and not you should and see what happens.
It's a practice, and it's an easy practice, and it's a powerful practice. It's a very easy practice. I've seen people actually double their income by letting go of but, because they're saying, you know, I want to get this sum of money, but actually I can't because da 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 but you know I want to go eat dinner but actually I'm not hungry yet and it's just but you know
yes,
like,
yes.
I want to go eat dinner and I'm not hungry yet, what's the problem? That's the truth. That is the truth.
And
we're gonna take a small break. Kim, hold your thought. We're gonna take a very short break and we're gonna be back in a couple moments with Kim Stanwood Terranova.
Conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
As I'm sure you know, it is time to celebrate self-discovery and personal growth. But you know, your efforts have to be consistent in order to stay balanced and to overcome depression and fears. So, what new books are available? How do you stay centered? Elizabeth Joyce and her guests will help you find out. That's Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out. Mondays at 6 p.m. on Om Times Radio.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, Welcome back. You're at Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me today in studio is Kim Stanwood Terranova. She has a new book on the market. It's called The Technology of Intention, and that is what we are talking about today. Kim, you also wrote a great line, release the how and stay in the now. Release the how and stay in the now. Release the how and stay in the now. The how is not our job. Share with us why the how is not our job. Yeah, I love it. It was like a little mantra. I wanted to put some music to it. Release the how and stay in the now. Yeah. Liked it.
Oh, I love that. Yes, let's do. I would love for you to put music to that. We should get tripped up on the human level, because that's where we're out of balance. If we start to think, I can't move forward on this until I know the how of every step. And when I look at individuals and say, that's not your job. Your job is to stay clear of what your intention is and what your aim is. And that it, the next step is to trust Spirit, the universal presence, to assist you, because the universal presence has a bigger vision than you do on what that how is. And when we think, oh, well, I know how to do it, it's this way, this way, and this way, again, we just constrict it to there's more possibilities than that. And very often someone will not sometimes allow themselves to be pulled by a vision because they think they don't know how to do it. And when I say to them, can you surrender, can you set your intention, get really clear, and then keep your practice so that you're open for Spirit to fill in the blanks of the how, because then that practice of deep listening is going to guide you in ways, oh, if I go this direction, I'm led to a bigger path than I even saw before. So the how opens, the how keeps us stuck where the now opens the door. I don't want us to be stuck, because then we again are not meeting in the middle and allowing ourselves to know more. Like in this present moment, I'm surrendering the how and moving forward, because I don't want to be stuck, and I want to assist people to not stay stuck. It could stop energy instead of staying in the now moment and propelling energy forward and building a field of trust so you will know which step to take next.
Yeah, I love that so much, because in my own life, in my own business, so often the how is revealed by moving forward, while we move forward. And and there are many moments where I didn't know how, and suddenly it was miraculous that something arrived, some person arrived with the wisdom that I needed, or the tools that I needed, or let's say you're going to write a book and suddenly you're at a party and you meet the publisher, or I mean the most crazy thing. And it's just, it's really beautiful. We know about obstacles being part of our life. We also know that the obstacles can actually be the path. If we look back on what we've experienced in our life, it's often the really dark moments that we never ever wanted to go through. We never wanted to go through. We didn't even have the intention of going through, because we're not going to intend something that is so complex and so difficult. And yet it's those obstacles that have honed us into being the finely tuned spiritual beings that we are.
Yes.
Talk about that. The obstacles on the path become the path.
I love that. The obstacles on the path, and we can see them as opportunities for growth. And again, this isn't, this doesn't mean this is easy, and it's completely possible and very important. When we start to open our hearts and minds, meeting in the middle, and think, oh, this path before me, I did not see coming. And we ask a different question. You know, I was blessed that I had a spiritual teacher that every time I hit an obstacle, and I hit some really big ones, he said to me, you know, what is your growing edge? What do you have to grow in right now to get to the other side of this? Because you will not be the same person on the other side. That question opened up possibility for me that I could be crying. I could still be confused. I could still see the obstacle. But when my ask is, what must grow in me right now? That became my pearl that I must cultivate to get to the other side, that I will be changed when I get to the other side, because I'll be more expansive in what I know myself to be. So when this last year, when a year and a half, when the Southern California fires hit, and in one night, my home, my business, my office, retreat center, everything was taken in the fires in one night. Never saw it coming. I said goodbye to a client at 3 on afternoon on Thursday, and by, within 24 hours, everything I'd known in physical structure was gone. Mm-hmm. So after that, when I did, you know, get off the floor from crying in shock of, what? Is this really happening? I reached into my tool bag, which is why I make reference to these things in the book, is that when we each have a tool bag around us of spiritual tools, like what tool did I need right then after I allowed myself to feel it and to be held by loved ones to stand up again? My next question when I could breathe was, what must grow in me now because I've never faced this? I don't know where I'm going to sleep. I don't know where clothes are. And when I took a breath and thought, what must grow in me now? Again, the tool of listening, I had to listen. And the word, the quality that came up was flexibility and fluidity. It said, you know, source inside of me said, Kim, you have got to master flexibility and fluidity. Mm. And I even chuckled, Carr, because I thought, I really thought I'm a flexible person. And what I didn't know is that in that next year, I would move 6 times. I wouldn't know where at times I was going. I would be being flexible to receive unlimited support from others. I was going to have to get flexible on what choices I was going to make in a house or not rebuild a house or what are the legal steps next. If I did not become more flexible, I would have stayed down and never gotten back up because I needed to master that quality to get to the other side. And that is the pearl that now I'm shifted in a different level because of that. And when I look at individuals and say, I want you to look at, I know it was hard. I could understand whatever it was they've gone through, a loss of a family member, a loss of a job, physical illness. And when we honor what the message was, the messenger, whatever that situation and challenge was, and then say, what pearl did you cultivate? Did you gain strength? Did you gain wisdom? Did you gain a curve within you that you never knew you had? That quality becomes your pearl so that the obstacle that is the path means that your pearl just got completely cultivated. Doesn't mean you asked for it, but you got it. So why not cultivate it so that in the other side, when something else comes to you in life, your tool bag is has more filled with pearls, and you know now that you can move through the next one. So it gives us this propelling motion of life is a journey, and I am going to keep growing upon it so that I don't stay in any limited thinking. I allow myself to feel the feelings of that situation, honor them, and then ask the question of what must grow in me to move through this obstacle.
Beautifully said. I was suddenly seeing a necklace of pearls with strength, courage,
yes,
flexibility.
Yes.
You know, and I think for everybody, yes, it's a different word that they might even need. For some people, it might be flexibility. For other people, it might be trust. For the other people, it might be courage. And that's,
yes,
if we tune in and deeply listen. And I think, mm-hmm, the thing that you're sharing with us today that feels so important in these times is that we need spiritual practices, and that's why, yes, you're sharing with us the word technology of intention. You could also say the technology of gratitude, the technology of, mm-hmm, affirmation, the technology of, mm-hmm, prayer, is that when we realize that we have these tools and that it's not only in the good times when it's easy to be grateful, the good times,
yes,
but when,
mm-hmm,
it's also in the tough times, that every single day we can find a place of gratitude. Every single day,
yes,
we can set the intent. Every single day we can find a place of peace. I say to people that are afraid to go out on stage, I said somewhere in that room, even, mm-hmm, if it's the button on the guy's shirt, you're going to find, mm, something that makes you smile or,
yes,
or makes you connect. Right? It might be the flower,
yes,
on the podium. I have no idea. You know, of all,
sure,
the things, it's connect with beauty, connect,
yes,
with gratitude, right?
And
it's powerful to have that tool bag when things do hit us. And that's the thing. We can intend, and at the same time, life sometimes does give us a different journey that we didn't,
mm-hmm,
intend to have a house burned,
mm-hmm,
down. But,
mm-hmm,
like you said, we're richer as a spiritual being afterwards if we're able to listen, Mm-hmm. Because we grow. We do
absolutely
grow. Exactly.
Yes. And so our growing edge is important.
Yeah, growing edge is where we... How would you define exactly growing edge? Is that where we're going to go into more expansiveness? If we think that have an edge around ourselves, and if we really understand that edge, what's limiting us, that through the growing edge, the edges expand more?
Actually, I don't look at it this way, and I'm so visual, but I don't look at that edge like a cutting. I look at this as like, what is my place of expansion? So my growing edge is my place of expansion. So if I'm leaning into something, it's what must grow in me so I could expand in this situation that I'm at, so that I must become more of my true self. So our growing edge continues to assist us to expand if we're willing to continue to embark upon it. So we have to lean into that pathway and keep saying yes. And that is where I love how you made reference to our practices support our strength in leaning into the pathway to keep growing. Every practice, every gratitude supports it. Every acknowledgement, every place to truly stand in celebration for making it through a day awakened, conscious, and clear. And then being so grateful of that, to know that, and tomorrow I shall begin again, moment by moment by moment.
Exactly. In the present moment, our power to create always comes in that present moment. And we are creators of our own lives. If we go into this feeling of expansiveness, which is we are energetic beings and we are so connected to our surroundings. I mean, our skin is very thin, right? So I think even though we're very identified with this body, I mean, the truth is our love goes out into the world beyond our body, and our thoughts also do. And, but what would you say to people that feel sometimes like they're so expanding that they're losing their roots, they're losing their groundedness, they're so in the expansiveness that they're kind of losing, you know, putting their feet on solid ground?
Sure.
What is your practice for that?
Well, my personally is I go running through the mountains about five days a week to make sure I'm staying grounded. The earth helps us stay grounded. You know, when I teach small children, our retreats are outside on the earth most of the day, unless it's too hot. Like, we're talking about gratitude, empowering language skills, truly intentional living. But we're in, and when I say in the earth, I just mean walking upon it, blessing it. It too is all energy. And so keeping us grounded is really, that's an intention as well and a practice. So one of my clients gets grounded and he's meditating when he's on a surfboard in the ocean, but that gets him grounded. You know, and I ask people, when I say to them, what is yours? What is the pathway that keeps you connected to source, to spirit, whatever you name it, that energetic force? What keeps you open and available and connected? And when people think about that, that's their answer to keeping them grounded, whether it's surfing, whether it's meditating, whether it's hiking in the mountains, you know, anything that a lot of people have to get physical to stay grounded, whether it's working out for some people. And I'll ask my clients, and before you go walk into your workout, set an intention. My intention is to be conscious and clear and, you know, surrender to my body for health and wholeness as I participate in toning it this day, so that we're intentionally aiming to stay grounded and whole while we're in a really full world. So our practices, again, bring us back to staying grounded is so important.
Yeah, staying grounded, staying present, staying here with what is, and giving the highest intent that everything is unfolding for the highest good of all. Kim, you do retreats. You have clients. This is a new book. You're also a speaker, and you're a spiritual consultant. How can people get in touch with you? What is your homepage? Where can they reach out to you if they would like to work together with you?
Thank you so much. You could go right to my website, which is all three names, kimstanwoodterranova.com. And there's a way to sign up on my email list or email me directly there, as well as social media, Kim Stanwood on Instagram and on my Facebook page, Kim Stanwood Terranova. And I have a full calendar and would love to, full calendar meaning to different places I'll be speaking, and love to meet as many beings that are want to keep this beautiful conversation going, Karis. I just thank you for it because it's so important to me.
If you are driven by a vision in this moment in time, what is your vision for humanity that you would like to share, the one golden nugget in this present moment?
Mm-hmm. Well, Don, I always tap into spirit. My intention is to hold the vision and the truth that there is the possibility for all to be honored, for our hearts as a humanity to heal and to truly move as one through this entire experience called life, that we can move honoring all individuals across this planet as one heartbeat in life.
Beautifully said. Mm-hmm. I thank you, Kim, very much for being on the show with me today, for being here Voice Rising, for giving us some insights on how we can really use the tools that we have to keep the vibrations high and positive. And I hope for these beautiful lines, on earth as it is in heaven, I hope that we find a place of harmony where we can flip harm to harmony and all live very peacefully together. And for those of you out there that want to get the book, The Technology of Intention by Kim Stanwood Terranova, it is there, and it is a pleasure to have had it in my hands and to have read it.
I'm so happy.
It arrived. I thank you so much. Yeah,
that's
many blessings.
That's a miracle and fulfilled intention right there, right?
Exactly. Many blessings to you, Kim.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.